knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points. Dean.
Dean Richards. How are you, Dean?
Oh, I'm just fine. I guess a little sad at some news that just broke.
Uh-oh. What's the sad news, Dean?
Breaking news. TBS is scaling Conan O'Brien back to a half an hour.
Oh, that's not good.
Starting in 2019. I love Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, he's great.
I think it's so creative and so funny.
Yeah.
And
although so much competition now, I feel like he gets lost in the mix.
I think that's probably part of this decision. Conan, in making this announcement, Conan said, since I inherited my late night show in 1993, TV has changed exponentially. I'd like to think that I've evolved with many of these changes, but now it's time to take the next leap, although it doesn't say what that's going to be.
Yeah. So what will they do, do you think? Will they cut back on a guest or two or make the monologue shorter, or a little bit of everything? What do you think?
Well, let me continue reading. A half an hour show will give me more time to do a higher percentage of comedy in and out of the studio that I love and that seems to resonate in this new digital world. It's still going to be me hosting a very silly show, but I want segments on my half-hour program to link to digital content, deepening the experience for my younger fans and confusing my older ones.
That's true. He does have a younger audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think they're, I mean, they're thinking ahead. And
smart move, actually.
You know, and thinking, you know, that I guess just part of me is just sad that things change.
Right.
You know, that things are changing. And this really, truly is, you know, the way of the world now. And that
change is hard, Dean.
Internet. That's right. That's right. As my dad told me every time he couldn't figure out how to get the 12, 12, 12 to stop flashing on the VCR.
It's true. Dean, I'm sure you remember this. The early days of your late night talk shows, so it would have predominantly been Johnny Carson, but you could also throw in anyone else who hosted The Tonight Show, like Jack Parr, or you could throw in Joey Bishop.
Yep.
That slot, that was a 90-minute slot, not an hour slot.
Right? Imagine that.
Yeah.
90-minute shows and actual conversations when, you know, you go back and watch tapes or, as we young people like to do, I like to watch things online.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and watch some of these things for actual conversations that are going on these talk shows.
Yeah.
More than just comedy shows. I think Colbert probably comes closest to that now in having actual conversations with people. But Johnny Carson used to have some, you know, an amazing variety of guests, number one, in one show. But also would talk about super heavy, serious things, and then have the lady with the potato chip collection,
right?
And
bird calls,
you know, comedians, and you know, a musical performer or two, and late night has changed dramatically since then.
All right, it's so funny you bring this up because two of the things I wanted to talk to you were about last night's late night talk show hosts. I don't know if you got to see it, but I kept switching back and forth between Colbert and Jimmy
Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel, right? Thank you. All right, so Jimmy Kimmel yesterday had
had two choices.
Right, it was Jimi Hendrix. Might have been Jimi Hendrix. All right, so Jimmy Kimmel had Mike Myers on. And the first few minutes were really funny, and they talked about the new incarnation of the Gong Show. But then Jimmy Kimmel asked him about Vern Troyer, who just died a few weeks ago, and Mike Myers was on the verge of tears recalling his friendship with Vern Troyer. It was great.
I didn't see it, but that's it doesn't surprise me. You know, Jimmy Kimmel, I think, beautifully crosses that bridge.
Yeah.
Of, you know, doing ridiculous and silly things, really, really more sort of a ringmaster of ridiculous and silly things, more than the center of attention being on him.
Yeah.
But I think he's a great interviewer.
He is.
I'm a big fan of Jimmy Kimmel. I don't very often stay up, can stay up very late to watch it.
I like them all in different ways,
right.
I have to be honest
with
you.
They all do something just different enough to stand out, right?
I try to give Jimmy Fallon, you know, I keep trying to give him a second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth chance.
Yeah.
And then he does that pandering, that, you know, kissing up to the guests. And
Sammy Maudlin show.
Everything's hilarious.
Yeah.
And
I still like him for some reason.
He's very talented.
I like his, you know, when he does comedy bits.
Yeah.
Not so crazy about when he does college, you know, fraternity games.
Right, I know, I know.
But I enjoy him when he's, you know, doing song parodies and all the things that we loved him for on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's a very good talk show host, honestly.
All right, now...
It's more of a variety show.
Oh, much more. Much, much more. All right, so then on Colbert...
Let's see him talk to somebody with a potato chip collection.
He could never do it.
Yeah.
On Stephen Colbert's show, he's got Jim Gaffigan on, and they're talking about Michelle Wolf's night, you know, at the dinner and how well she did. And Jim Gaffigan confesses that they asked him to do it, and he didn't want to do it. He goes, I don't know why anyone would want to do it. And I've been saying that all week.
Out of his wheelhouse, he's, you know, is what he said. It's not what he does.
Yeah.
But also was supportive of Michelle Wolf at the same time.
Very much so.
I also found really interesting last night, and Jim actually found a way to make his wife's encounter with brain cancer humorous. It was very touching when he talked about what she went through and how touch and go it was.
Yeah.
But then he started talking about the surgeon, and they had a good surgeon, and what's a good surgeon, and oh, you got a surgeon? Oh, that's a bad surgeon. You don't want the bad surgeon.
Right. Right.
What did he say? Something like tumors are us.
Yeah.
Something.
America's Got Tumors. That's a game show.
It should be a reality show or a game show.
Heidi Klum said that you're the best brain surgeon, so I guess you're the best brain surgeon.
Yeah, America's Got Tumors.
Very funny, wasn't it?
He was very,
very
funny.
Very funny. Dean Richards is our guest. He'll tell you what movies are coming out this weekend. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Let's rush back into Dean.
Oh, because it was...
That's what we do here on WGN.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing a cruise on almost a Friday.
Yeah, we're rocking Chicago, man.
You never rocked. You were on the light.
Yeah. What's
I was.
No,
Dean
where were you? You were on Gino Vannelli's station.
Ouch. Wow.
WVAN.
Dean, I'm going to send some Bactine over.
Stop. She's not lying. She's telling the truth.
I know.
Which one was it, Dean?
It was what it's now called The Mix, but then it was called WCLR.
Oh, that's right.
Chicago's Light Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then my 20 years, which were actually only three, it just seemed like 20, at WNUA. Smooth jazz.
WNUA. And then snoring noises.
Yeah, that was me snoring.
That was you snoring. All right, a couple of big movies opening this weekend. Let's start out with Tully. This looks good. Was
this
it good?
This is an interesting, interesting movie. Hmm. Let's see if Wendy can relate to any of this. Charlize Theron plays a mother of two kids and has a third baby expected any day. She's got kids and all the responsibilities of, you know, doing everything that moms and parents need to do for kids. But she's got most of the responsibility for taking care of the kids. And then this third child comes along, and now she's got the additional responsibility of, you know, taking care of a newborn and waking up in the middle of the night and nursing. And she is just being pulled from all directions. And... you know, is just at her breaking point. And this movie is about the demands of motherhood. This movie is about expectations, what your life is, what you thought your life was going to be, how it was going to turn out, the person that you used to be versus the person that you are now.
No more. I am no more fun.
Oh.
It is. That's almost verbatim a line from this movie that... Charlize Theron deals with and becomes illustrated in her life when a night nanny is introduced into the home. Have you ever even heard of this? I never have.
Fairly recently I heard about it. So moms can get their sleep, basically.
Moms can get their sleep, and they only wake up the mom when it's time to nurse in the middle of the night. But otherwise, you know, moms can get the kind of rest that they need. So she sees in this young night nanny all the things that she wanted to be when she was young, but didn't turn out that way. But the movie is all that. There is a huge, I mean, like, I see dead people kind of surprise, sixth sense kind of surprise at the end of this movie that floored me.
Really?
Completely floored me.
Huh.
And now I have to go back and rewatch this movie because... Apparently, there were hints all along the way that this surprise ending was going to happen. That after I got done with the movie, I was like, oh, that's what that... Now I get... Now I see... But now I want to rewatch the movie like I rewatched Sixth Sense so I could see all, you know, see all the obvious clues now that I know what the ending is, but I don't want to tell what this ending is. It's directed by Jason Reitman, who did Juno with Chicago and Diablo Cody, who also wrote this movie. So they're reunited, and it has that very Diablo Cody sensibility to it. Charlize Theron is very good in this movie. Obviously, I think that women, and moms especially, are going to way appreciate this movie a lot more than I did. But I appreciate it quite a bit. I mean, I get it. My only one thing with this movie is I'm a little bit sensitive about movies where guys are portrayed like stupid dopes that do absolutely nothing to contribute to helping in the household. Not all guys are like that.
No, right. There's not mine. My guy helps a lot.
Yeah. And this
so does your husband, Wendy. I want to point that out, too.
My night nanny really services me.
As she likes to call him.
Lights just got dim in here, Dean. Wow. All right, so what
so
is...
So I do like this movie. I gave it a Dean's List beat.
Oh, that's excellent.
Will it stress me out, though, or will it make me feel
like... You'll think
they
followed you around with a camera.
Because will it make me feel better, like, finally, somebody appreciates what we do, is it going to stress me out?
I think a little of both.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's going to give you a little bit of both.
Dean, there's a remake of Overboard, the Goldie Hawn classic.
It looks right? funny.
It's not as funny as it is sweet.
Yeah?
It is. This time it stars Anna Faris and also a superstar in Latino television and film. Role reversal is slightly different. It's a billionaire playboy, kind of a jerk, who gets amnesia and is sort of kidnapped by the Anna Faris character, who is a single mom with three kids. And she uses this guy, who was kind of a jerk to her before the amnesia, to help take care of her house. And the comedy is kind of scarce in this movie. But there are two people, really, she can't stand him in the beginning. And, you know, their dynamic changes a little bit in the movie, and it winds up being kind of a sweet, romantic comedy. So if you were to ask me about an hour into the movie, I would say I hated it.
Yeah.
And then, like, the last half hour, it sort of redeemed itself.
Oh.
So wound up giving it a Dean's List C.
And that's Eugenio Derbez is the guy you're referring
to. That is the correct way.
He seems
right?
over the top.
That's the Annabella Val was teaching me how to say his name. So tomorrow, when I review it on TV, look for me to say his name about 20 different ways.
All right.
I'm going to cover all my bases tomorrow.
And then, Dean, the one thing we always talk about whenever you and Wendy and I get together is we love movies, we love films, but there's never anything good about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Has that changed at all?
Except that one animated Pixar movie that came
out. That was hysterically
where
funny.
Where she was a spider.
Yeah.
Where she was a talking spider that fought for women's spiders' rights.
I love that movie.
If you remember. there is maybe one of the best documentaries I've seen in a long time that's called RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, or as people now refer to her, the notorious RBG. because she once you see this movie, you see what a gangster she is, or as we say on the street, gangsta, that she really is. It's a beautiful story that tells her life story from being a little girl growing up in very modest surroundings, having an interest in the law, and being, for most of her academic career, being the only woman in all-male law schools that she wanted to go to, and fighting that barrier for most of her life. It's the story of her personal life and her fantastic romance and decades-long marriage to her husband. What a devoted mother and grandmother that she is. But the movie focuses on her relentless care for both as a lawyer doing women's rights cases in front of the Supreme Court, and then as a Supreme Court justice, hearing cases, civil rights cases, all cases, obviously, but yeah, particular interest in women's rights cases. So, you know, some people are going to say, you know, she's a big liberal. I have no interest in seeing this. You know, totally up to you, of course. But I think regardless of your politics and regardless of your positions on things, if you want to see a story about someone overcoming obstacles and standing for something, making her life mean something, regardless of what the politics and the positions were, this movie should be inspiring to anyone. And I would think especially women and young girls, especially, that you can do anything, you can achieve anything, just like RBG did.
Yes.
I gave this a Dean's List A.
Wow. Good week.
I love this one.
A lot of good stuff.
So women's weekend.
Yeah.
Right on, sister.
I need a night nurse.
Dean, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, guys.
Have a good rest of the weekend. That's Dean Richards, everybody. We'll take a quick break and then find out what Steve has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.